Australia Overnight. Now, this time of year, many families are navigating their first Christmas post-separation or divorce. So how do you navigate this challenging time while still fostering a sense of normalcy and stability for the kids and the family amidst all this change? Now, the answer might be a concept popularised by Gwyneth Paltrow, a consciously uncoupled Christmas. Here to explain more is Catherine Leach, family lawyer and CEO of Leach Legal. Hi there, Catherine. Welcome back to Australia Overnight.
Hi, Pat. Thanks for having me.
Now, if it's your first Christmas after separation or divorce, it's pretty full on. It's a pretty challenging time.
Oh, it is. It is. There's a lot of traditions that you're not going to be having, and a lot of change, and it's quite confronting for some people.
So is the key to plan it with your partner, try to get, open the lines of communication, at least try to, as we say in the introduction, try to get this sense of normalcy and try to get through it in the best possible way?
Well, if you have children, I think that's a really good way to approach it, because, you know, you've got to remember the children are going to be concerned and anxious about what their Christmas is going to look like. And if you can plan it early and then have the discussions with them, this is what to expect, this is what's going to happen, they're going to be a lot calmer and look forward to it a lot more, rather than worrying about, you know, is Dad going to turn up late, or is Mum going to, you know, not show up?
Yes. So it's that anxiety that you're sort of trying to settle. As you say, the kids and the children will be a bit nervous about what's going to happen this year. If you can get ahead of the game, yeah, you said it perfectly. You know, who's going to be late, what's going to happen, where's the presents? So you sort of start to lay the tracks early?
Yes, yes. And I've had clients who the first Christmas, they, whoever's in the home, hosts the Christmas morning, and the other parent comes over and they open the presents together and create that sense of normality. But not every family will be able to do that following separation. So it's a matter of trying to think about, well, what is a new tradition, if we can't do that, that we can create, and we can do that with the kids and make it the new Christmas.
So that's what you're doing, I guess. You're starting to do the first episode of a new way of doing Christmas. And Christmas is a special time. It's a stressful time. But if you maybe start a new tradition or just do it differently, but it doesn't mean it's any less special or important.
Oh, absolutely. And I have to say, when I have clients who are often from European backgrounds that celebrate Christmas on Christmas Eve, and they say, I'm happy to have Christmas Eve and the other parent can have Christmas Day every year, it's just the easiest arrangement, because everybody's happy with what they've got. And so what I say to clients is, don't assume that Christmas morning is the nirvana. You know, you can create your own traditions.
131873, if anybody wants to join the conversation. We're talking about planning your Christmas if it's the first year after separation or divorce, with Catherine Leach, who's a family lawyer on Australia Overnight. Now, if the couple are at war, though, Catherine, it makes it very hard then. If they're not talking or the communication lines aren't really flowing, then it's super hard.
It is, and it's generally speaking, the kids are less concerned about the amount of time they spend with each parent and more concerned about what happens when the parents meet and when they're doing the handover. And you will ruin your child's Christmas if you turn up and have an argument in front of them on Christmas Day. It's just, you know, untenable.
Yes, yes. It's about rising above it for the sake of your children and really the whole family. If you sort of make it about having another blue with your ex-partner, you know, that'd be a horrible way to spend Christmas. So you just need to somehow put those emotions aside.
That's right. And if you can't be civil to your partner, then practice it in the mirror. Hello, Merry Christmas.
Yeah,
have a great day.
That's the least you can do. I know it's easier to say, but surely, as you say, that's the least you can do. Hello, Merry Christmas, have a great day, and then go and have a beer in the corner or whatever. And just sort of maybe just get through the day and try to enjoy it.
That's right. And I do say that to my clients, go and rehearse it. And that's all you get to say. You get to say nothing else. You don't buy into anything. You don't have an argument. You just, you know, say your nice greeting and smile at the kids and off you go.
So is there, I'm guessing a lot of families will do it separately though, with a complete sort of breakup. Is that a shame that if kids are shunted around, as you say, it doesn't have to be Christmas morning? I guess somewhere along the way, if there's children there, Mum and Dad should be in the same room at some point for Christmas, or an exchange of presents, or you know, sometimes there's examples where maybe they don't even see each other, Catherine.
Yeah, I don't think they necessarily have to be in the same room. I mean, some people do that for the first Christmas, but I think it's about having the clear tradition, because everyone thinks, oh, it's terrible for these kids, they're shunted around. But I know so many families that go to, you know, mum's parents for breakfast and then dad's parents for lunch and then dad's stepmother for, you know, afternoon tea. And so Christmas is often a day where you're being moved around. Don't make it just about the divorce. Make it about, look, Christmas, we get to see everybody. It's great.
Yeah, that's right. But the dreaded added thing is having the new partner is where I'm going, Catherine. If there's a new person in the mix, one or the other has a new partner, I mean, that's that might stir up a few issues along the way, do you think?
Oh, yes, it will, particularly if it's without notice. So if you turn up for your Christmas day and the new partner's sitting there in your dressing gown, you're not going to be overly happy about it.
Oh, my God.
So a little bit of communication and discussion about what does Christmas Day look like, who's going to be there, you know, if you turn up and their entire family's there and ambushed you and you're feeling very uncomfortable, that's not going to be a great great outcome either.
And life's so busy, you know, planning is the right way. Maybe it's easy for us to say on the radio, but just to get ahead of the game and plan. But this is what happens, that you sort of, you know, it's November, it's December, before you know it, oh, I've got to get presents and I didn't tell so-and-so. And if you're sort of trying to communicate with your ex-partner, that doesn't flow straight away either. So you're waiting for a response and he or she's not responding. So you just got to get ahead of the game. But even that's a challenge, don't you think?
Well, you have to remember that these people are not together for a reason, maybe many reasons. And some of those reasons might be that they just stop communicating with each other. So you can't expect this incredible, you know, great flow of communication to suddenly come after they've separated. It's going to take someone to make a conscious effort to make that start and to be the person who follows things up. And nobody wants to do that. Everyone feels a bit resentful and they've done enough. And then everybody kind of just takes their sides and sits back. So someone's got to be the bigger person.
There was a recent party in my life where we went there and my ex was there and some of her sister and other people and my kids were there, and you know, and we got on and it was a nice day and we, you know, we were all good to each other, and gee, I felt good afterwards. I really felt like we'd moved to a new level. So if you can get to that, if you can just sort of somehow force yourself to rise above it in some way, you could get to that feeling where you think, oh well, it's been a lot of pain, but we're sort of getting somewhere where it might be okay.
I think that's right. It's a mindset, because when you stand back and look at it, you know, you and your partner have created this family. You've created these children, and these children will possibly have their own children. So you've created a whole, you know, lot of generations to come in the future, and you should be able to be united as the parents of this whole lineage and not just as an ex-husband and wife, but as parents.
Beautiful. I love the way you said that. That's right. You know, you just look at it that way and you have a responsibility, you know, as you describe it. And also there's grandparents too, and there's nieces and nephews and other parts of the family who love seeing the kids and want to be together. So it's not only sort of mum and dad and the kids, it's the whole family who are affected by a divorce or breakup.
Yeah, and as kids go through particular stages, you know, when they're teenagers, when they're looking at having their own kids, their background and their family is very important. They want to know, you know, great uncle John was a, you know, plumber and he had a great business, and they want to know how they're connected to that. They feel that sense of you know, continuity and family. And if you're denying your kids the ability to find out about who they are and where they come from, then you're denying a big part of their knowledge and their growth.
I mentioned the new partner. If you, you know, you just hope that the new person in your life understands it as well. That always becomes a complicated one too, where other people who are joining in may not see it that way. Then you're negotiating at home with the new partner. You're sort of trying to get through Christmas with the kids, and then you've got the ex-partner as well. You know, it can be pretty stressful if that sort of stuff's happening.
Some people have extremely complicated lives, but ultimately we all make those choices. So, yes, I've seen some very interesting combinations.
Catherine Leach is on Australia Overnight, family lawyer and CEO of Leach Legal, talking about getting through Christmas after separation and divorce. Presents, buying presents and stuff. Is that all, is that complicated that, you know, Dad didn't buy a good enough present or, you know? Does that open a can of worms?
Oh, Dad spent $800 and we both agreed that we would agree on what the present would be, and we would go halves, and he went rogue and bought this present, and I could only afford to buy a $100 present. Now the kids want to go and hang out with him because he's more fun.
Yeah,
very problematic. And I think as well, you know, as parents, when you're together, you try and share common values and goals, you know, about bringing up your kids. And one of those values might be that you don't, you know, you're not wasteful with money and you don't spend money needlessly. And then suddenly you're separated and, you know, the $1,000 present's suddenly okay. And that's confronting if that's not, you know, congruent with your values.
So is that part of it, accepting as well that that's going to happen, isn't it? And Christmas, somewhere along the way, somebody's going to do something where you thought, oh, I wish that didn't happen. But then you have to acceptance. You have to say, oh, well, you know, you can't crack it, can you?
No, you can't. You go, that's great. Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, how lucky are you? You know, I hope you said thank you and all that sort of stuff that you do. But, you know, you can't control what the other person does as much as you can communicate. Ultimately, everyone will do what they're going to do.
Yes. And I guess the reality is that many families this Christmas and you know, Christmases before and moving forward will have to adjust to a different way of doing this due to separation, divorce or any change. So it's not unusual that we're just adjusting to the changing way that things are.
Yeah, and I think you can't get, you know, obviously separation and divorce is a big change, a very big change, but there is change everywhere. You know, the grandparent who's passed away during the year that's not there, the, you know, the family that's moved away, there's always going to be change. And I think, you know, within your family, it's an opportunity to have that, you know, have that discussion with your kids. You know, change is always here, and this is this year, this is what we're doing different, and it's great, and it's, well, how you approach it.
Yes. I sometimes just like to just watch my kids' body language, and it's been a few years for me, and just try to do my best to make sure that they get through it okay. But when I try to sort of address it, you know, head on, like you say there, sit them in the car and say, look, I know it's a little bit different for us this year, this and that, they get all awkward. I say, Dad, no, we don't want to talk about it. They just don't even want to go there. So then I just sort of change the subject. So is that my experience? Why are the kids... You want to sit them down and tell them, because you know that communication, clear communication is the best thing. But it sometimes makes them feel uncomfortable. So I just think, oh, well, I'll just move on from that and see how we go.
Send them a text message.
Yeah.
They read those.
Yeah, that's true. Text message. And even when they're saying that, I know that at least, you know, I've got a few words in, and then there's a text message. So every little bit adds up. There's that little sentence in the car. There's a text message. There's the party where we're all together. And eventually it draws a picture of, you know, Dad and Mum were okay, and, you know, we'll get into life and not be too upset by it all. So that's my plan anyway, my strategy.
Yeah, I think saying, let's sit down, son, and I'm going to talk you through this for an hour, I think is, you know, doomed to failure. But I think you're right. It's just the osmosis, like just, you know, feeding it constantly.
Yeah. All right, Kath. Is it a busy time, November, December, as far as, when I say busy time, maybe it's the wrong word, you know, do people start, you know, the stress for separation and divorce, or do people think, I'm going to get through Christmas and, you know, I've had enough, I might sort of think about thinking about leaving afterwards? Is that the sort of the flow?
We get a lot of new inquiries sort of about this time, October, November, so people who are thinking, okay, well, I'm going to separate, but we'll get through Christmas, but I'll find out what's happening now. And then it's just crazy busy because Christmas randomly becomes this marker for all things in life, that everything needs to be completed by Christmas.
Yeah.
So everyone who's got an ongoing matter wants it finalised by Christmas, which, you know, doesn't really happen very often. But so everything's moving, where you wouldn't get a response from somebody for a couple of weeks. Now they're responding to you within an hour and
expecting
it to be done. Yeah.
I feel like I'm being a bit blasé about separation and divorce. I mean, life is tough. You should sort of do your best, of course, to stick together and not just think about, you know, Christmas was stressful, so I'm leaving. But I just thought, from your point of view, you know, do people talk to you more at what time of year? Catherine, it's always great to have you on the show. We wish all our listeners all the best for Christmas, no matter what their situation is. And thanks for joining us on Australia Overnight.
Thanks for having me, Pat.